Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Stu does America.
Welcome to Studios America. Drew Holden is going to join us in a little bit to once again hold the media accountable for their criminal lack of honesty in covering Joe Biden. There's also been some movement in the field of cryptocurrency regulation. We'll go over the latest there, but we're going to start by doing Biden's Bad Book Week, Chapter 2. Yes, there's so much to cover. I'm going through the book right now. This is the latest one by Jake Tapper, and it's going to be, it's quite the adventure. There's a lot in there, I will say. And Alex Thompson, I should also mention, maybe more prominently than even Jake, when it comes to this book. It is a, there's a lot in there, and I'm glad the book was written. There's so much to talk about. I want to kind of first start, though, with the cancer diagnosis situation with Biden, and add on to this with really, really sad news. Dilbert cartoon creator Scott Adams said he has the same prostate cancer as Joe Biden. I watched this clip of Scott talking about this, and let me just give you a little bit of it here.
Some of you have already guessed, so this won't surprise you at all. But I have the same cancer that Joe Biden has. So I also have prostate cancer that has also spread to my bones. But I've had it longer than he's had it. Well, longer than he's admitted having it. So my life expectancy is maybe this summer. I expect to be checking out from this domain sometime this summer.
Really, really tough to watch. He talks about it in almost like a, you can see the way he's trying to do it with good humor, but says he does not have a good day anymore. It's just constant pain all the time. It's terrible. And like with all the stuff going on about Joe Biden's health, it's important to remember, this is a really terrible thing he's going to be dealing with. And at least if it goes the way that Scott was describing it, man, it is going to be an awful, awful thing. I will say, if we had listened to the media, if we had listened to the left, if we had, taken what they said about Joe Biden's health seriously and he was reelected, the show today, this monologue, would be about the transition of the presidency to Kamala Harris today. That's what we would be talking about. Like every health concern we had about Joe Biden going in was true and worse, honestly, because we didn't know about the cancer part. We only knew about the cognitive decline, which is obviously true as well. So we wish Scott the absolute best. He's talking about, I guess he was a campaigner for the assisted suicide stuff in California and referenced that. I hope that's not the direction he goes, but it's just really, really sad. Also, I just want to quickly mention, he also mentioned that he took this sort of ivermectin combination that has been promoted online for cancer. He tried it, did not get results from it. And I talked to a lot of people who said, who are optimistic about that in their own lives. Look, he says maybe it works for somebody else, but it did not work for him at all. It actually, all of his levels went up. So anyway, just something to consider if, God forbid, you're going through something like that, and I hope you're not. Let me try to transition here. I'll do it with Jon Stewart, who is mocking CNN, which is really kind of how he made his career. He's talking about how they're promoting their book too much. Honestly, like, I don't think they are. I'm glad. This is the only way we can get them to cover news, is when they got books out, apparently. Stewart said, "Don't news people have to tell you what they know when they find it out?" Stewart asked. "Isn't that the difference between news and a secret?" That's a fair point. "You won't believe what we found out." "No, that's why I watch breaking news. Nothing could slow down this coming feeding news frenzy about Biden's cognitive health, other than maybe a report on his actual physical health," Stewart said, in reference to Biden's recent prostate cancer diagnosis. "Doing this story seems almost disrespectful. Can CNN thread the needle? How do you pivot from excitedly promoting your anchor's book to somberly and respectfully promoting your anchor's book?" And look, I frankly am fine with them promoting this book at this point, because it's actually giving us some real news, some real information, some real reporting. I share the issues with it being late. They certainly claim they weren't able to get these people on record until after the election. We know Alex Thompson, one of the reporters who wrote this, did cover a lot of this stuff at the time. So, I mean, that kind of not exactly accurate with both authors, at least on this particular book. But we're kind of at this point now where we're just getting revelation after revelation after revelation. There's a ton of them in the book, but other people are talking as well. Biden team's scripted cabinet meetings, this is in the book, used multiple cameras to cover flubs, says the book. The authors report that the campaign held a staged town hall last April in a high school gym to film a commercial. It was made to appear that Biden was taking questions off the cuff, but the event was closed to reporters and the campaign was given questions in advance. The book goes on to talk about these not only events, but town halls where a lot of it was scripted. Some of the events, not only did he know about the questions, but then they also gave Biden the answers to the questions. So he was reading scripted questions coming from supposed audience members and then also reading scripted answers given to him by aides just to hide how far he had fallen. Another cut from this, when a group would ask Biden to record a 5-minute address for keynoting an event, the White House usually responded that the video would be 1 or 2 minutes. But Biden still struggled with that. To compensate for that, aides filmed Biden with 2 cameras instead of 1. If Biden messed up, the edit was less obvious with the jump cut, they reported. Other politicians use jump cuts, but Biden aides noted to themselves how much more often they had to use them for the president. Maybe noting it to yourself, which is really just thinking. I mean, I think that's what that means. Like when you note something to yourself, you're like, huh, we use these a lot. If that's all you're doing, you're not really noting it to anyone. You're just thinking about it. Noting it to other people in the media, noting it to other campaign officials, talking about it openly would have been a much better option. And frankly, it would have been a much better option. I hesitate to give them this advice because it would have been a much better option for the Democratic Party. I mean, if they had decided to actually treat this stuff honestly and say, OK, this is really happening. It's, you get past the midterms and you say, OK, we got to make sure he does not run again. Gavin Newsom could have announced, Amy Klobuchar could have announced, Gretchen Whitmer could have announced, Pete Buttigieg could have left his important position at the Department of Transportation that he butchered for 4 years, and he could have announced. They could have pushed him out by just beating him. Instead, they sat back and let all this happen. And it's on, that stuff's on them. Again, I think that turned out better for the country, because if one of those people would have won, it would have been really bad for the country. But still, if you think about it from their perspective, you know, this is basically Adolf Hitler got elected, right? So, it's amazing. It's a weird way of thinking about it, but it's amazing the lack of bravery, isn't it? I mean, we talk about these guys being kind of heartless and like throat slashing, like they don't care. They'll do anything to get power. And I think that's true in a lot of cases, but it was embarrassingly untrue here. Like, how was there no one in the Democrat Party who just stood up and just said, hey, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm going to run. I mean, with the exception of what's his face, the one guy, the yogurt guy. I don't know. He was heir to a gelato fortune. Dean Phillips. Thank you. Dean Phillips, the one guy who stood up and ran against Biden and got laughed out of the race. That was it. Everyone else was like, you know what? Yeah, like we're going along with this. Where was the bravery? Where was somebody to step up and say, I've got the balls to just beat this guy. Look at him. None of them had this. So, I mean, it's really indicative of that. None of them should be president of the United States. If you don't have the balls to stand up and run when it's your turn, when it's your time, when it's so obvious it's your time, well, why would anyone elect you? It's really amazing. The scripted commentary goes on. Tapper and Thompson also reported that Biden increasingly relied on teleprompters and note cards, even for private discussions like cabinet meetings. Before these meetings, White House staff were called the various departments and agencies to figure out what they were going to ask the president so that answers could be prepared. This is an amazing line. The conversations were largely scripted, even after the press left the room, the authors report. So, like, again, I happen to work with a guy. His name is Glenn Beck. I've been working with him for a very long time. There are times he goes into interviews. We never script his answers. We never give him the questions in advance. But there are times where you get a little nervous when he goes into these interviews because he'll sometimes just blurt stuff out. And then you're left dealing with it for weeks and weeks and weeks afterward. By the way, if Glenn were here, he would tell you the same. So there are times where you're nervous, and there are times where your instinct is to say, like, let's keep him out of this situation because I don't want something to go wrong, or I don't want him to say something that gets misconstrued, or, you know, you can almost understand as a you're an aide on the side that you want to protect Joe Biden from these moments if you think they're going to go badly when the press is there, because it could go viral. People could see it. Why would you be protecting him when he's talking to his own aides? It's insane. They're scripting these things with people that he's supposed to be allied with. I mean, none of them obviously wound up speaking up at all. They certainly had nothing to worry about. What are we doing here is the headline from CNN. Democrats were shocked at Biden's decline, but stayed quiet. In the final 2 years of his presidency, Joe Biden had private moments where he could not recall the names of top aides and had an increasingly limited private schedule, was prone to incoherence and losing his train of thought, and was hidden from the public eye to shield the extent of his decline, according to the new book, Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, which again does get promoted every 10 seconds. I do see that's that is significant. One other thing I want to point out, though, at the beginning of the book, the author's note from Thompson and Tapper kind of indicates, hey, you know, we can't go too far with this. Like they draw a line and they say, really, this happened in the last 2 years of his presidency. Now all of us, I think, know this is insane, right? Like, it's insane to look at back at him in 2021 and 2022 and say nothing was happening. Honestly, like during the campaign, they acknowledge in the book that COVID was one of the best things that ever happened. This is from Biden's own aides saying the best thing that could happen was COVID, even though, sure, it killed a bunch of millions of people. At least we got to keep Joe in the basement. Like that is actually talked about in the book. In fact, it goes all the way back. They say the earliest signs of decline were 2015, 10 years ago. So I don't know why they tried to draw this line in the author's note, because the information in the book doesn't really support that. Something, if they decide to come on the program, we will ask them about. The book details episode after episode where Democratic lawmakers, White House aides, members of Biden's cabinet, and Democratic donors were shocked at Biden's diminishing mental and physical capabilities while the president embarked on an ill-fated 2024 re-election bid. But nearly all did not speak out publicly or try to stop him from running. Again, you know, it comes back to just like, why? Why didn't you step up? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you run? It is absolutely incredible that they just let this guy walk to the nomination and allow him to manipulate the entire process, rescheduling South Carolina first so that he could win, going after RFK Jr. and trying to push him out of the race, changing the rules about who would qualify, whether they would even hold some of the primaries so that other people could compete. They were canceling primaries. It's an absolute disgrace. Now, this all comes on the back of the release of the actual audio from the Her tapes. This was something, of course, at the time was treated as this big conspiracy theory that, oh, gosh, was he really, did he really, was he really an old guy with, what was it, a gentle old man with poor memory? That whole thing came out. The transcript eventually leaked out. We saw that. But, you know, we wanted to see the audio. The Biden administration illegally, I believe, put executive privilege on this. We'd already seen the transcript. Why would it be executive privilege to hear the audio? Again, the media didn't care. They didn't want to hear the audio because they knew it would be bad. Guess what? They were right. Axios has this exclusively. Here is one clip about how Joe Biden couldn't recall when his son died.
So during this time, we were living in Chambers Road, and there were documents related to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden cancer from your shot or your book. Where did you keep papers that related to those things that you were actively working
on? Well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 18, that area?
Yes, sir.
Remember, in this time frame, my son is either been deployed or is dying. And so what was happening, though, when month ago died, May 30th, 2015 he died?
I think it's 2015.
I'm not sure the months are, but I think that was
yeah.
That's right. Mr. President.
And what's happened in the meantime is that as and so Trump gets elected in November of 2016. All right. So, why not 2017?
That's when you left office, January of 2017.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's not even basic memory stuff. First of all, to think, he said, I know it was very difficult to hear, but I wanted you to at least have a chance to hear it. He said, my son was either deployed or dying at the time in 2017, 2018. Of course, he died in 2015, which they eventually get through. Obviously, he was deployed long before that. Not even close to knowing the year. And also, there's just this basic thing that you understand about the American system of government, right? We have elections every 4 years. It's really easy to trace back whether it was an election year or not, because it's every 4 years. So it can't ever be an odd number year. It can't ever be 2017. How could he not know that? Scary. And then he would just blurt out these bizarre stories. Let me give you an example of one of them. Here he is rambling about Mongolia.
Went to Mongolia and great pictures. Unfortunately, embarrassed the hell out of the leader of Mongolia. They were doing what they would do at the time of the invasion of the Mongols into Europe in the 800s. And so we're out in the middle of nowhere, and they're looking up on the hill and see this tiny line. Now it's a 20-mile horse race with all these kids under the age of 16 on bareback racing to come down. And, they're sumo wrestlers and doing everything they do. And so they walked over and they had a target, big bales of hay 100 yards away. And these gorillas were, taking shots. And I don't know if it's an embarrassment or to make a point, but they handed the bow and arrow. I'm not a bad archer. But the only problem they were if I could pull it back. So I, and pure luck, I hit the target. I really did. Bales of hay, there were 20 bales of hay with a big target in the middle of the bale of hay. And so I didn't mean anything by it. I turned to the prime minister, handed it to him. The poor couldn't pull it back.
Sir, this is a Wendy's restaurant. I don't even know what to say to that. It's a bizarre story. Apparently, this happened over and over and over again. He would just meander into nonsense. And this was the reaction to these, knowing what all of this was, they knew this went on. The reaction to this was to try to destroy Robert Hur, try to destroy his reputation, his working life. One of many, many examples. How Hur misled the country on Biden's memory. The transcript does not completely refute Hur's description of Biden's memory, but it is entirely incompatible with the conservative refrain that Biden has age-related dementia. Did that sound entirely incompatible with your belief of how lost Joe Biden was? Not at all. That's the thing here, and that's what we have to go into. It's number one, how the administration handled this and what actually happened. An investigation must occur. We must hold people criminally accountable if they committed crimes. We must have every text message, every signal chat, everything that they did to try to discuss this among themselves. And then additionally, after that, with less importance, but still significant importance, is trying to figure out what went on with the media throughout this process. And I don't know, is there any way to make it better? I would love that to be true. Maybe Drew Holden has an idea. He is going to come up next, talk to us about what the media did through this period. It's just fascinating. We'll talk to Drew about it next. Guys, if making things a little spicier in the bedroom appeals to you, you're definitely going to want to try Blue Chew, especially Blue Chew Max, which combines the active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis into one chewable tablet. It is fast-acting, it is long-lasting, and right now you can get a whole month of it for free. Just sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you will receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made right here in the USA. They are prepared and shipped directly to your door. And the best part is it's all online. So it means you don't have to have any, visits to the doctor's office, any awkward conversations with anyone, and you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy either. Make life easier. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. They've got a deal going on right now. You can try your first month of Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code STEW. Just pay $5 shipping. The promo code is STEW at BlueChew.com. Get more details and important safety information there. BlueChew.com. The code is STEW. I'm happy to welcome Drew Holden back to the program. He's a commentary writer and author of Holden Court. It's a newsletter, which you should definitely subscribe to. It's at drewholden.substack.com. Drew, thanks for coming back on the program, man. Appreciate it.
Stu, the pleasure's mine. Appreciate you having me back on, sir.
Yeah. I wanted to get your perspective on, a lot of this stuff, and especially when the media reaction to all of this and how we're getting all this information about Biden. But I want to start with your reaction to his diagnosis when it comes to cancer. You had to deal with some of these challenges yourself.
Yeah.
Obviously, a terrible thing for him and the family. What was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tragic, right? Cancer has touched so many millions of lives across this country. And the former president is, he's surrounded by people who love and care about him. I've been sharply critical of the former president. I think a lot of us have. I think it's important to keep him in our prayers and make sure that we aren't demeaning him for this latest battle. But I think people are a little bit skeptical about the way they found out some of this news.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of stating it. It's interesting. I mentioned this earlier, but reading the book Original Sin that is out now, one of the first things they cover in the book is how there was a large operation inside the Biden family back in 2013, 14, 15 to hide the cancer diagnosis of Beau Biden. They were telling the American people he was going to Delaware for the weekend. He would go to Delaware, then fly to Houston to join him with his treatment. Like, as a dad, that's, hey, it's a nice thing that he went to go be with his son. But this was something they tried to hide the entire time.
Yeah, I think that, the press, unfortunately, has done a really poor job of covering a lot of this, because the Biden administration and the people around Joe Biden have for years, as you mentioned with Bo, for years, they've covered up the medical travails of this family. And, as someone who went through cancer treatment, right, I did chemo, I did radiation. It's grueling. It's really hard on you. And it's really hard on a family. One of the things I think about most often is, yes, it was difficult, but all I had to do was show up for the appointments. For everybody else involved, there's so much more that goes into it. And so it completely makes sense to me why people would want to be, cautious with the way they talk about a family member going through this. But unfortunately, I think the way that the Biden family has treated all this information about health going back years and even decades has been to be evasive. And so people are right to start kind of ask questions of like, well, I'm hearing this information now, as I'm hearing a lot of other negative information about Joe Biden. It seems a little like, why should I trust them? Why should I trust that the story that they're telling me is legitimate now, when in so many other cases it hasn't been the case?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, we should point out, too, that Joe Biden was vice president of the United States at this time. Beau Biden was attorney general for the state of Delaware. These were elected officials.
Yeah.
This was important information. And you're right. It is a real challenge for a family to deal with. But again, they were telling reporters that Beau was given a clean bill of health. This is not even just like misleading. These are obviously at this point blatant lies. And I think the same thing happened with Robert Herr, who of course, did the Herr report, said famously, this is an elderly man with a poor memory, so they weren't going to do anything on the documents. They had a unified effort to go out and basically destroy this man after this report, now we know is obviously true.
I've gone back and looked at a lot of the reporting from the time, right? Because I wrote about it when I was at the Free Beacon back in 2024. It seemed a little bit aggressive to come out and say, oh, no, there's nothing here. There's nothing amiss. There's nothing possibly wrong with President Biden and his cognitive capabilities. One of the things that really jumped out to me was so many outlets, as soon as this news broke, all of a sudden became experts themselves in how we diagnose mental deficiencies or cognitive decline, right? The New York Times said that we needed considerable more measurement. Both the Washington Post and CNN and the Associated Press all said, have you screwed up the names of your children or other family members? You've done exactly what Joe Biden has done in these reports. Herr is delivering a partisan attack on Joe Biden. He's a former Republican. He's just doing this to demean him ahead of the election. And so they fought tooth and nail against what we've now heard, you know, very clearly to be the truth, to be the obvious evidence of cognitive decline of the guy with the nuclear codes.
It's just so stunning. I mean, it's weird because obviously as conservatives we're more critical maybe of Democrats, and you look at this maybe with some of his claims with a more skeptical eye. To see all of this come out now and now out of the mouths of Democrat after Democrat after Democrat is really fascinating. I want to go back to you mentioned the New York Times, and we've been talking about the media here. The New York Times, The Daily podcast, did a podcast today, as in like 2025, about this incident. And one of the things with the Hur report was that the excuses were pretty much the same. I wrote some of them down. It was unfair what he said, Hur said about Biden. If you just saw Joe Biden behind the scenes when he was on the call with these foreign leaders, you know, that was the excuse at the time. The public didn't see the Joe Biden that all the aides saw. All of my understanding of what today is to prove that all that stuff was BS, right? Those were lies at the time. We now know they were lies. But let me play this for you, Drew. This is a clip from the New York Times Daily podcast today, not 2022, not 2023, not 2024. Today, this is what they're saying.
It is absolutely that the vast majority of people closest to Biden genuinely believe the portrait that Robert Hur painted of him was deeply unfair. And I think it's in part because they saw Joe Biden in different settings and all the time. And there were times where he was really strong and dialed in and capable. They would say, if you could just hear Joe Biden on a foreign leader call, or if you could just see Joe Biden in this negotiation, or if you could just see Joe Biden in X, Y, or Z setting. But the problem was the public rarely saw that version of Joe Biden. In fact, the public rarely saw Joe Biden much at all. And so I think the challenge for Biden's closest aides was confronting the reality of the Joe Biden that outsiders saw, that Joe Biden that Robert Hur saw, the Joe Biden that many voters saw, and ultimately the Joe Biden that America saw when he stepped on that debate stage in Atlanta, Georgia.
I mean, they're still treating these claims from aides that he was this amazing guy behind the scenes seriously and acting as if we're supposed to say those weren't lies.
Right. And gospel truth, right? This, all of this language cribs back. You know, I've got this example written down here. New York Times, June 4th, 2023. Biden is sharp and commanding in private. He also has exhibited striking stamina when he's out on the trail talking to Ukrainian leaders, right? Like it's preposterous. It reads almost like the way you would expect the North Korean media to talk about the Kim family. It is so far apart from what you would expect the media to talk about an American leader as. And I think, you know, one of the kind of shocking things that I think we don't talk about enough actually is, if there's something going wrong with the president of the United States, regardless of party, whether it's corruption, whether it's health, it is incumbent on the media to try to find it. Isn't this why we have a free and fair press? Isn't this why the First Amendment protects them so that they can go out and do this kind of work, to get this kind of information, to report without fear or favor? And yet now they're still sitting here scratching their chins years after this reporting, years after other people have objected to what they can see with their own two eyes, saying, how could we not have known this? How could it not be clear? And it floors me every time I hear it anew, because it is their job to find these answers, not rely on Biden's staff to tell them.
It's so true. And Drew, I think, I don't know what the exact problem here is. Part of it, I think, is like the thirst, right? Like what they want to know and what they don't want to know. You know, even Jake Tapper, who's one of the co-authors of this book, came out and said basically like, hey, well, you know, they didn't tell us this stuff until after the election was over. And, you know, we had our questions, but they told us everything was fine and he was doing well behind the scenes. And it's like, well, if there's a thirst for knowledge, if you want to know, what journalists do is follow up. The example that keeps popping into my mind, and it's just a random one, but you may have others that are even better, but like, the thirst for knowledge about Donald Trump's tax returns. Donald Trump never just said, hey, here's my tax returns. They went through what may have been some illegal process in acquiring them after multiple years of putting reporters and reporters after it, constantly harassing them for multiple years to get these and finally getting them later on from some mysterious leak. They had no such interest in finding the truth about Joe Biden until, of course, he lost the election.
Right. A dogged media has proved that it is very, very capable of discovering information about people, particularly elected leaders, that they would rather people didn't know about them. Right. I'm sympathetic to the idea that it is much easier to talk to people who are in the administration once they are no longer in the administration. I get it. It's hard to get these contacts. You care about your access. But two things jump to mind. First is, you're absolutely right. When the media sets its mind to finding out this information, if that information is out there, they are quite good at doing it. I think it's a real credit to the media when they do it well. But the other thing, Stu, that I think is really, really important is it makes it even more incumbent on the media to take situations where they can see with their own eyes, or the American people can see with their own eyes, that something might be amiss, and follow that lead, to chase that down. It isn't just about the kind of, you know, bootstraps reporting where they're going over, they're trying to turn over every rock and every leaf to get that information. It's actually looking with a degree of clarity and focus, and even maybe suspending partisan bias to say, is there something here? And, you know, instead, particularly in the summer of 2024, when we had the cheap fakes video, according to the White House, we had all this evidence that said, maybe this actually isn't above board. Maybe there is something off here. And rather than pause for even a beat and say, maybe there is something here that we, the free press in this country, should pursue, they immediately rush to write all of this information off and all of this evidence off as merely Republican political talking points.
Let me ask you one more before we go here, Drew, on Jake Tapper specifically. I think you can look at reporters in a bunch of different ways. I think you could say, hey, the ideal is we want people reporting on this stuff at the time accurately. I would put Tapper's co-author, Alex Thompson, into that category. I think he did a really good job at the time. On the other side, you have people who are completely denying it and are leading the charge for the excuse-making machine. I would put someone like Joe Scarborough into that category, shameless throughout the entire period. I put Tapper in the middle here because, Tapper, I don't think, was one of the lead offenders when it came to this at the time. I don't think he was great either. I don't think he was asking the tough questions like maybe Alex was. What's the legacy, because now that he's come out with this book, he's part of this. I think he's part of the good side of this at the end. What's the legacy of Jake Tapper after all this?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. You know, there's a clip that I've seen floating around about Tapper basically promoting the same sort of talking points that somebody like a Joe Scarborough would say, oh, this is misinformation. These are Republicans using these manipulated videos, these edited clips to make Biden look bad. And so he was definitely on the wrong side of this at one point. And I think, people will serve to their own discredit by forgetting about that and forgetting the role he played in it. But I also think the other big point here is, someone like Jake Tapper has an enormous amount of influence at CNN, right? Within the network where he is a leading voice. CNN was a pretty egregious promoter of the idea that criticisms about Joe Biden's cognitive abilities, his cognitive decline, were misinformation, were lies. I think when the score is tallied at the end of the day, yes, it's valuable that he's looking back at all this stuff. Yes, he was closer to straight and narrow than Joe Scarborough is. But no one's covering themselves in glory on this, particularly no one who's senior in any of these organizations that worked so hard to tamp down the story up until they couldn't anymore at the debate in the summer of 2024.
It's very, very true. And it's going to be an interesting thing to watch it all unfold. Drew Holden, he's a writer, a commentary writer, author of Holden Court. It's a great newsletter. You should subscribe today over at drewholden.substack.com. Drew, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Stu, the pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me back on.
When it comes to caring for your plants, know-how absolutely matters. That's why FastGrowingTrees.com's experts curate thousands of plant varieties that will thrive in your specific climate and your specific location and will fit your needs. There's no waiting in lines. There's no messy car, to and from the store where, like, all the dirt spills out when you take a corner. And not to say that this has happened in my wife's car while I was driving. I just want to make sure that that's clear. All you have to do is just order online or over the phone, and your plants are shipped to your door in just a few days. FastGrowingTrees.com has growing and care advice available 24/7. Whether you're looking for increased privacy, shade, or to add some natural beauty to your yard, Fast Growing Trees has the perfect plants and the expertise to help you find them. This spring, they have the best deals for your yard with half off select plants and other deals. And viewers of this show get 15% off their first purchase when you use the code STEW at checkout. If you're going to get plants for your yard, this is the place to get them done. Plus, you're getting the extra 15% off right now. It's 15% off fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code STEW at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com. Code is STU. That spells STEW. Now the perfect time to plant. Use the code STEW. Save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. It's fastgrowingtrees.com. Some legislative news. Senate has advanced a crypto regulation bill with bipartisan support. This is a bill that the administration and crypto analysts and companies seem to like. It was a 66-32 vote. You know, they want to get some certainty. This is about stable coins largely, which will be a very, one of the, it's one of the biggest innovations, honestly, in the crypto world, and has, you know, made it, especially internationally. The impact on these, on countries that are dealing with governments that are constantly inflating their dollar is a massive thing. Of course, we're kind of doing that too, so it's not as massive, but it is something that is really, really important, and they're trying to get that through. Crypto markets seem to like it as well. Another situation that's going on is this big, beautiful bill. Trump is trying to persuade and threaten GOP to support his budget bill. He went to, went down to meet with everybody at the House today and was like, hey, you know, you got to pass this. It's really great. He said two main things policy-wise. One was whatever you do, don't F with Medicare. And the other one was don't give the SALT deduction increase. So I thought this would be interesting. I kind of went over this a little bit on radio if you heard it earlier, but I think it's fascinating to try to make this all work. The key to this, the key to passing bills that you actually want, is getting large majorities. When you have a majority where you can only lose four votes, which is where the House is right now, it's really freaking hard to get this done. So let me give you a quick lay of the land right now. There are six people in the Republican side that are looking for these SALT deduction increases. SALT, if you don't know, long story short, is a deduction. If you have like state taxes and you're in a blue state and you have high state taxes, you can deduct that money you're giving to the government out of your income. I will say, when you're in one of these blue states, it seems very logical to you because, wait a minute, I'm not even getting this money. It's just going from my paycheck directly to the state. Why am I getting taxed on that money from the federal government? On the other side, the problem with that policy is it incentivizes blue states to just jack up their state income tax because they don't really have any pain from it. They don't have to deal with the constituents who say, hey, my taxes are too high, because they're getting this big deduction from the federal side. So that is why in a lot of these people in New York and California are saying, hey, get this SALT deduction higher. Right now it's at $10,000 you can deduct. They want to raise it to $30,000 or $40,000. So that's a significant situation. So there's six of those. Remember, you can only lose four people. Now, to get those people over the finish line, you can do a lot of things, right? You can go to the $40,000 deduction. Maybe they'll come with you and vote for the bill. Fine. But then the next group, of course, is 31 Republicans who are in the group that you'd probably honestly fall into, deficit hawks. People like Chip Roy, for example, who are saying, hey, wait a minute, we're not cutting enough. We're spending way too much. This is adding to the deficit. What are we doing here? Those guys are like, wait a minute, you can't add more SALT deductions. That's going to cost even more money and make at least add to the deficit. So you got to please those 31. Now, you can please those 31 by not giving them the SALT deductions. However, they're already complaining and they're not with you on the bill because you didn't cut enough. So they want more cutting. Now, when you go for more cuts to please that 31, you've got another group of 14 who are there and saying, wait a minute, but we actually don't want to cut the stuff from the Biden Inflation Reduction Act that relates to clean energy or green energy. Why? Well, lots of new jobs and factories in our districts. They don't want to cut that stuff. So they won't vote for it if you cut that stuff. And then there's a whole other group. It's 12 of these moderates in places like New York and California who are saying, wait a minute, we're the whole reason you guys had the House in the first place. We won these tough districts and these purple districts. And if you vote to cut Medicaid too much, we're going to lose our elections. So we're not with you there. So what do you do? What combination of policies gets all of these people across the finish line? Trump basically went in today to say, hey, do it. We'll see if that works. It might. Donald Trump does seem to have that power with a lot of people. But I will say it's a very difficult line to walk. You don't want to be Mike Johnson right now. Mike Johnson's got the worst job in America right now because no matter what he does, it's going to be very, very difficult to get this whole thing across. It might be just shrinking the bill down to something smaller. It might be some magical combination of giveaways that gets people across the line. But whatever it is, it ain't going to be pretty. This Memorial Day, I got a story for you about grit, about redemption, about good old-fashioned family values, and it's coming to the big screen. Trust me, you don't want to miss this one. It's from Angel Studios. They do such a great job, you know, with King of Kings, Homestead, Sound of Freedom. They've got a new movie called The Last Rodeo. It is an action-packed story of a retired rodeo legend who straps back in for one last ride, risking it all to save his grandson. The movie is about healing broken bonds, facing the past, and proving that real courage means fighting for the people you love. We had Neil McDonough in studio just yesterday for radio. Great guy. The movie looks awesome, by the way. The trailer looks great. You should check out the trailer if you're not convinced. Theaters are selling out fast, so hurry up. Order your tickets right now. It's angel.com/stew. Angel.com/stew. Grab your seats for The Last Rodeo. It's in theaters starting this Friday, May 23rd. The Last Rodeo. Get your tickets now. Angel.com/stew. It's angel.com/stew. The first 100 days of the Trump administration, honestly, you could look back and kind of see they were sort of the Musk days, right? Like, I'm not saying that Trump didn't have a huge role. Obviously, he had a bigger role than anybody. But, like, you know, he's going to be here his entire presidency. I think when we look back at the Trump presidency, that first 100 days is going to be seen as one where, like, Elon Musk was a huge factor. He is now stepping back from that role. He says he's pulling back on his political spending. I've done enough, which it's hard to disagree with him on. He spent a fortune on politics over the past year or so. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think the Doge thing was mixed. I think we found some good stuff out. We were able to get rid of some wasteful spending. I never believed we were going to save $2 trillion. I told you that from day one. I mentioned many, many times that I think focusing on the dollar amount is a bad idea. I think it will probably fail if they try that because so much of it is just in the law and it's really hard to change without changing laws and passing new laws. Instead, focusing on regulation cuts would have, I think, been a better goal. They did do some of that, and that's positive. But Elon Musk is just saying, like, look, I've done enough. If I see something I really want to spend money on, I will. But right now, I don't see anything. And that's understandable. And, you know, you think of the same way with Donald Trump at some level. Before they got into politics, these guys were highly respected people. They were, you know, Donald Trump was kind of loved across the spectrum, not really thought of as a Republican or a Democrat. Elon Musk, sort of the same way. I mean, if anything, he was seen to be on the left and, you know, as an electric car guy. All of his companies had these really high approval ratings in the public sphere, with the, you know, exception of Twitter, which was more mixed, but he got that later. But SpaceX and, you know, and Tesla were seen as these incredible companies. And now, because of politics, because the left has just turned on the guy because he supported Donald Trump, it's not that way at all. This maybe it lets him return back to a life that he apparently really liked, and understandably so. So we will see how much and how long this lasts. But for now, he's pulling back. Well, we got a lot of great shows here on Blaze TV. Let me tell you about a new one. It's called Strange Encounters with Rick Burgess. This is streaming now on Blaze TV and on YouTube. It's not about Bigfoot. It's not about ghost stories. This is the actual fight between good and evil that every believer faces every day. Strange Encounters is streaming now on Blaze TV. Sign up. Get $20 off your annual subscription when you use the promo code STU at stewdoesamerica.com. You also watch it for free on YouTube or listen wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Strange Encounters with Rick Burgess, really good dude. StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is STU.